Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this morning. I pray that, please, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that you would teach us. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us because of what we learn. Help us to trust you more. Help us to see you as the loving Father, Lord, that can be depended on and trusted. May you get the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here we go. I like the book of John a lot. I like it a lot. One thing you need to understand when you come to the book of John, I hope this helps you. Don't expect it to stick with you, but maybe a little flake of it will. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Out of the Gospels, John is 90% unique to itself. In other words, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to repeat themselves quite a bit and give different angles of the same event, same parable sometimes. When you come to the book of John, 90% of the book of John is not in any of the other Gospels. It's to show you that Jesus is God. You say, why would you say something like that? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John kind of systematically and logically take you through 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry here on the earth. John only takes you through 21 days. There's only 21 days in the book of John. Why would you say that? Because when you read it, John chapter 9, where the blind man from birth is healed, it's a major miracle in the Bible. Nobody had been healed who was blind from birth. This one miracle in John chapter 9 shows Jesus who he is. And if you've never read the story, it's an amazing story. Jesus heals him, puts the mud on his eyes. He can't, when he finally goes and washes, and then comes again seeing, Jesus is gone. And then everybody's going, you were born blind. How'd you see? I don't know. This man named Jesus came by and put mud on my eyes, and now I'm seeing. Well, it was the Sabbath day. That was considered a no-no by the Jews. They get all upset, you know, don't say it was Jesus, it was somebody else, because Jesus is bad. And he's going, look, well, here, you're there in chapter 10. Look at chapter 9, verse number 25. I like this statement. I'm in John chapter 9, verse 25. Watch this. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I like that one. I like that statement. He said, I don't know who he is. I just know I was blind. I've never seen anything in my life. And whoever he is, I'm dying to meet him, even if you say I shouldn't. Well, they eventually get angry at him. And look at verse number 32, just to show you how big it was, how big the miracle was. I'm in chapter 9, verse 32. Ready? Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This is a major, major miracle. All right. Then watch this. Look at verse number 34. Then answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they, the Old Testament priests, cast him out of the temple, the blind man. Just get away from us. We don't want it. We're tired and sick and tired of hearing about this Jesus. And so here's this man. He's cast out of the old system that he was raised in, all because he wants to meet the one who healed him. He's sitting on the side, and you got to understand something. If you're cast out of the temple, it's more than you just can't go to church anymore. You understand? That means you can't be with your family. To be cast out, it's not just, don't you come to our church anymore. This was their society. You understand? He's now an outcast. He's sitting on the sidewalk, and I'm picturing him just going, man, today's really been a rough day. It's been a good day, but wow, is my head spinning. And then watch what happens. I like this. We really are going somewhere. I'm trying to show you the foundation of the story. Watch this. Look at verse number 35. And I'm chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look at what he said, verse 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said in verse number 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, verse number 39 starts Jesus' dialogue to the priests and the Sadducees that are around about there, and watch what happens. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." What did he say? He said, if you would admit that you're blind, you would see who I am, and I'm the one who gives sight, and you could see. But since you see, and you're in a blind state, and you don't see your problem, he said, I am of no use to you because you keep rejecting over and over and over again what I teach you. You're not listening to who I am. You think you see, but you're blind. If you would just admit what you are, you're blind. He said, then I could give you sight. But I can't do that. Now, the reason I'm doing that is John chapter 10. I enjoyed this while studying it this week. John chapter 10, verse 1 says Jesus didn't go anywhere. He starts talking. He still has unbelieving Pharisees and this man who he has healed at his feet, worshiping. And then he starts to teach on being the door, which is this morning's lesson. Watch, John chapter 10, verse 1, just trying to lay a little foundation. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." He is talking to unbelieving Pharisees, and he's saying, if you think you can get into heaven by working or coming in by any way other than me, you are a thief and a robber. He's talking to lost people. He has this man who's very thankful that he now sees. I've never seen it in this light. I always thought he was teaching his disciples. But watch what happens in verse 2. Ready? Watch this. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them." Look at verse 6. This is amazing. "But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So far, nobody's getting it. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus is going to teach common illustration shepherd talk. In the Middle East, a lot of people are shepherds. I remember when we were over there in Turkey, it was cold. We bedded down, and I remember we woke up the next morning. You know, those things, you know, you sleep like this, you know what I mean? You zip it all the way up, and it comes over your head like this. You got one, John? Yeah, okay. They're yucky. All right. You sleep like this, and your thing's all done like this, and you know, it's funny when you look at everybody laying on the ground, there's all these little puffs of smoke. Yeah, it looks funny. There you are in your cocoon. And I remember I was like, wow, it's cold over here. I remember I unzipped and there was all these sheep looking down at me. Like, oh! Because when I went to sheep, there wasn't any sleep. No, when I went to sleep, there was no sheep in the field. And you wake up, and the shepherds lead their herds through like that. And I'd never seen modern day shepherds, and they wear these rubber shoes with no socks. You know, the kind that you see through. At any rate, you guys need some shoes, bless your hearts. Well, I remember seeing them, and Jesus, we're now obviously back in New Testament times, Jesus gives common language. A sheepfold, he said everybody would understand this, that the shepherd leads his sheep with his voice. And only the shepherd can call the sheep. Only the shepherd leads the sheep. Only the shepherd goes in before the sheep. And all this, and yet they're still not understanding. In verses 7 through 21, Jesus breaks down what he just taught them. Now, here's we're going to read this in just a second, but watch. At the end of verse 21, 2 months take place, and then verse 22 happens. Verse 22 says this. Not that that's going to change your life, nothing like this. Watch this. And it was verse 22. I'm in chapter 10. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. That means it was December 25th. On verse number 22. I won't go into the feast of dedication, but it wasn't even in the Old Testament listing. It was something that was due to tradition. And so what I'm trying to tell you is because they don't understand common shepherd talk, and they could if they would think, but they're pretty set at not believing on him. Now Jesus says, go back to verse 7, chapter 10, verse 7, and watch this. Jesus is going to re-illustrate what he just taught in 1 through 5. Watch this. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says it again. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. See, the reason they could understand this is a sheepfold was wood that would keep out a wolf or a predator. But wolves are the primary thing, and you might have a lion if you get over further east. But they're going to build a wood fence. It's a square structure, and it has an open spot that's about 5.5 feet wide. And when you ask a shepherd over there, so this is where you keep your sheep. Yes, this is where I keep my sheep at night. What's very interesting is when you say, and he'll tell you, when my sheep are in here, he said they're safe. He said, the wolves can't get at them. And you say, well, what do you mean? The opening. And the shepherd, to this day, still looks at you and says, I am the shepherd. I'm the door. When it comes time to put the sheep back in at night, I lay down right here. And I start calling the sheep. To get into the fold, they have to come over my body. He said, and then I stay here, no wolf. And cross, because I stay here all night. This is where I stay. I, the shepherd, am the door. I'm the way in, I'm the way out. Nobody gets in or out without going over my body. You see how verses 1 through 5, Jesus is trying to tell them, the shepherd, the porter openeth, he goes before them, he leads them, he calls them by name, and they're going, what? And then so he breaks it down further. I am the door. I'm the shepherd. I do what the shepherd does now. Watch this. Verse number 10. The thief. Well, no, look at verse number 9 one more time. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. First of all, salvation's through the door, right? You can't get in any other way. You can't get into this new life until you go over his body that was sacrificed for you. As one, that's how you become a sheep. Then it says you can go in and out and find pasture. From this point on, if he's at the door, which is the shepherd, same thing. All right? I didn't know that the door and the shepherd were the same thing until I started looking at this and studying. It's kind of neat. He said, from now on, he says, as one of my sheep, you can go in and out, and you have liberty and freedom. The law of Christ Jesus hath made me free. I've learned the value of the rules, and I've learned that the rules protect me in the Christian life. It's not I get to do whatever I want, but as my shepherd leads me, he leads me in and out, and then he feeds me and find pasture. And they shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse number 10. Ready? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Stop. Who's the thief? It's the wolf. He wants to take that which he has not helped raise, which he has not helped feed. And the thief cometh, and this is amazing. He's not coming after lost people. He knows lost people are going to hell. The thief, the wolf, the devil comes after you and me, and he has a threefold purpose. And this helps me a whole lot. He is not just coming to steal my joy as a Christian. He's not satisfied. He takes my joy. He tempts me. I fall for it. Guilt-ridden. I lose my joy of my salvation, but he's not satisfied. He is still out. He's come to steal. He wants to kill me. He wants to kill me. So now he takes and he kills any desire that I have for anything that's spiritual, but he's still not satisfied. The thief is not satisfied until you, Christian, are destroyed. You have an enemy that's out to steal your joy, kill your spirituality, not cause you to lose your salvation, but I think you know what I mean. No more desire left to do anything for God. I just don't care about God. But he's still not happy. He's not happy until your family is destroyed. Until you personally are destroyed. Destroyed means hurt to the point you can't get back up again. You really do have an enemy. It really helps to understand that in the Christian life too. You've got somebody who has their crosshairs on you and they're following you. You are being watched. Okay? So your hope is to what? Like preacher taught us a couple weeks ago, stay close to Jesus. He protects us. He helps us. I don't have to fight him alone. Praise the Lord. I'm no match for the devil. But Jesus, my older brother, is. Look at the middle of the verse, number 10. Ready? I am come that they might have life, that is salvation, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what happens when the sheep does what the shepherd tells him to do. When the sheep allow the shepherd to lead him, he doesn't get in trouble now as a sheep. There is a more abundant life in the Christian life. There's more to it than being saved. I learn how to yield. I learn how to do what he tells me to do. I like the verse. I know it's one of the best known verses in the world because, you know, you go to funerals and people want it read, and that's fine, and I like the chapter a lot. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's easy preaching, hard living. Because I've learned something. The Lord isn't your shepherd because you're saved. The Lord's your shepherd. And I wrote this down. The Lord's your shepherd when you follow him. The Lord is your shepherd when you let him lead you. See, the average Christian says this: God, I am about to do this. Now you bless me. Because this is what I want to do. You bless me. This isn't sin, and you know it's not sin. And I know they don't talk to him, but I'm adding it to it so it sticks with you. Okay, I'm being a Sunday school teacher right now. All right? The average American Christian does this. God, I'm about to do this. Now you bless me while I do this. But they don't ask, like King David, a man after God's own heart, the shepherd doesn't say, what do you want to do today? The shepherd says, we're going over here. And then the shepherd says, we're going to go over here. And we're going to stay here a while. You're going to lay down when we get there. Because you're going to rest. And then when we're done, on my go, we're going to go over here. Do you understand? The shepherd doesn't go, what do y'all sheep want to do today? But then in America, we have a tendency to say, God, I'm about to do this. Now you bless me. And then when it doesn't work out, then they get bitter. How come this didn't work? Because God didn't bless me. God said, you didn't ask me to lead you. You never asked. The Lord isn't your shepherd because you're saved. The Lord is your shepherd when you let him lead you. The Lord is your shepherd when you let him guide you, not telling God what he's going to bless you while you do it. That's a different way of thinking. And I'm convicted, all right? I don't know if anybody else is in here, but this whole week I've been beat to death. Because you work here at the church, that's it. Can you do God's work in the flesh? Yes. Am I led of the Lord like I should be? I want to be led more. But no, I'm not. Can I do all of my church duties, all of the administration, everything here? Well, I'll bet just living here, it can be easy to stay spiritual, but it can also be the easiest place to backslide because you take it all for granted, right? Because I know what people say who work in the world, and they look at it, oh, you're an assistant pastor, you get to be spiritual all day long. Everything I do is administrative work, and paper pushing isn't, you know what I mean? If I'm not careful, I can get wrapped up in the hustle and bustle, and I can quit asking God to lead me. Well, I started thinking, you know, that's everybody's job. I'll say it one more time. He's not your shepherd because you're saved. He's your shepherd when you let him lead you. He's your shepherd when he guides you. The Lord is your shepherd when you depend on him. When you depend on him. The Lord is your shepherd when you listen to him. As you read you know, verses, you know, we're here in chapter 10. Look at verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at the end of verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from them, from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'm taking the idea of this being a good sheep and letting Jesus, yes, I've accepted Christ. He is my door, but he is also the good shepherd. And I need to listen more. Greg, don't do that. Greg, I want you to do this now. But Lord, that doesn't make sense because, you know, you got to do what I tell you. You ever argue with God? And then you go, oops, didn't do that. I need to listen more. I don't listen like I should. Let's keep on reading. Ready? He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's not just talking about salvation, although that is a big part of it. He says, I don't just die for the sheep. I lay down in the doorway, and they partake of my life. I spend time with the sheep, and if they want to learn from me, I'm there all the time with them. I keep them by my side. The only reason I don't grow in the Christian life, and the only reason a Christian doesn't grow is because they don't. Yes, you partake of salvation, but he also says, I'm giving you my life. This more abundant life, I'm giving this to you. You have to want, somewhere along the lines, you have to want, I want to be like Jesus. I want his help. I need him. I lay my life down for the sheep so that they can take of my life all that they want. I'm right next to them. I lay down. Watch this. Verse number 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, I like verse 18, but read verse 17 here. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18, neat old verse. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The death of Jesus wasn't a tragedy. Oh, it's so sad. He was tortured to death in your place because he allowed himself to be. That's what he said. No man takes it from me. No man takes my life from me. It wasn't suicide knowing he was going to die. Somebody asked me that question. Wasn't that suicide? Isn't that sin? I said, no, it wasn't sin. I took him to this verse. Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I'm giving it because I can take it back again. And I'm the only one that can do that. What a beautiful love story. What a beautiful love story. I wrote down a few more things just to give you here. Can we go to Psalm 23 real quick? Now that we've looked at the door and the shepherd, and just look at Psalm 23 in this light. Psalm 23. I think it's read more for at funerals than families than it is for the family members. They need to be reminded. But you know, you go to the funeral, and you know they want it read at the man who died who never went to church. Never took God's name in vain and cussed and drank, and it ends up being more of a comfort for the family that's there at the funeral than it is as a testimony of the man who passed. And sometimes it gets frustrating to me, so I'm just voicing to you right now what I get to see, all right? Sometimes I'm like, why? I think that was her request. Praise the Lord. I hope this is helping her, but he had nothing to do with this. You understand? Now let's read it as far as he's the door and he is our good shepherd. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And boy, isn't this the season for that. If he thinks I need it, he gives it to me. Right?
That's easy preaching. It's hard living.
If he thinks I need it, he gives it to me. There's nothing I want. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Every time I get sick, that's the verse I think of. God says, well, fine, if you're not going to slow down, I'll make you. I'll let you get the virus, and you can just lay there and cook for a while with your fever. You know, you lay there, and you got the Bible playing and stuff, but the Lord does make me lay down.
And he knows when I need it. And I wouldn't be there, and I get sometimes frustrated, and then I remember, he maketh me to lie down. In green pastures. Watch this. He leadeth me beside still waters. He's always interested in me not. You know, sheep are real neat. The shepherd has to do so much work because sheep are so stupid. And it's so, you know, it does a lot for your ego to be called a sheep. You know what I mean? But God goes, you know, the shepherd has to go to the water and block it, because if it ripples more than like, it's like a quarter inch, the water has to be still, or the sheep's nose is so close to its mouth, when it bends down to drink, it drowns. I mean, I understand. Got some water in my. I do not understand. I do not understand that. I do, but the shepherd says the sheep has to drink by still waters. And so God gives me still waters to drink. And he feeds me. Look at verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'll say it again. The Lord isn't your shepherd because you're saved. The Lord's your shepherd when he leads you, when he guides you. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. And when I catch myself wanting, I start finding myself scheming. Maybe I could. Well, then I could. He's not my shepherd then. The Lord is supposed to be my shepherd. The I am, the door, and the shepherd, it's the same thing, because the shepherd lies down. And to get in, they have to go over his body. I hope this is a help. Do he give you something to think about and read? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, please, I need your help. Really more than I'll ever know. And I pray that, please, you bless these sweet people. I pray that you would help each husband. I need your guidance. Being the husband that I need to be. And Lord, raising our children. Lord, just every day you want to be a part of our lives. Help us, please. You're the door. You're the good shepherd. And Lord, you're so good to us. Please, bless the service now. Please help us and touch our hearts as we listen to what you've given our man of God this morning for us. We need you now. In Jesus' name, amen.